Hello, indoor kids. If by any chance you are tuning in to this week's episode because you heard about the Indoorsman podcast at PodCon 2017, thank you. Also, please reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach myself at Ponk, P-O-N-K, or at Indoorsman Pod. It'd just be really cool to find out if that's how you heard about the show. Anyway, enjoy. It's two Australians complaining about video games for the next hour. But you know what you signed up for. So here it comes. Hello and welcome to the Indoorsman Live once again. I am your international jet-setting travel boy, Matt.
And I am Cliff, who has totally not had a birthday in the last week.
Good.
Unlike
you got it right.
Unlike some of our co-hosts here at the Indoorsman.
Yeah, some of us had a birthday last week, and that's why we left the country.
Happy birthday, Jack.
Thank you, Jack. Yes, as we mentioned in last week's Game of the Year episode, we recorded that one early because I was going. Because I was going overseas for 2 weeks for my birthday, Dirty 30 birthday tour, visiting the Americas, and now I am back.
Visiting the Americans. Wink.
Yes. A wink. And yeah, now I'm back and mostly recovered from jet lag, but not from the American food I ate, because all that sugar and fucking everything does not agree with me.
Holy shit, it's tasty though, isn't it?
It
is
actually
worst and best at the same time.
The sugary bread, I hated it all the time, except I had a Caesar salad at one point with little toasted chunks of sugary bread, and that was fucking delicious.
Are you talking about just like the fact they put lots of sugar in the bread in general, or they put powdered sugar over it?
No, they have sugar in the bread.
Yeah.
That's why American burgers and everything are sweet. It's because they literally bake sugar into their fucking bread.
I mean, we have that problem here in Australia as well, just not as bad.
Yeah, it's noticeable. Mm. But yeah, this is not a food blog. I did eat a lot of American food. Some of it was good, some of it was
bad.
Did
you have any root beer? I love root beer.
No, but the single greatest invention America has ever come up with is single slice pizza. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty great. But we're not talking about like pussy like slices like we get here in Australia where you slice a large pizza into eight. We're talking like massive, like quarter of a pizza in one slice deal.
Yeah, it's the size of a quarter of a pizza, but you start with a pizza twice as big.
Do you eat from the crust through or the other way around?
Eat from the pointy end.
Because that's like a really big thing, apparently. It's like, you know when you have your toilet roll where it goes over or under? Over is the correct way, by the way. There's no such thing
as under. What's on the patent.
Yeah. Apparently, eating pizza is like a thing too. Or burgers upside down. A cheeseburger will taste different if you're eating it upside down. Than normal way up.
Well, yeah, because different things are hitting your taste buds at different times. Yeah. But no, you eat pizza from the pointy end because the crust acts like an oil buffer for your hand.
Plus, you know, if you're going to have things like hot dogs or cheese inside your crust.
Well, that's true. But yeah, I particularly enjoyed the pizza by the slice because, possibly because of how badly I was doing with American food, there were two occasions where I went 24 hours without eating by accident. And then someone reminded me that I should probably eat if I hadn't eaten since dinner time the day before. And I had a slice of pizza and it was literally the greatest thing I'd ever put in my mouth in my entire life. Because it was oil and hot. And that was exactly what I needed at that point.
And cheese. Cheese is amazing.
Just a slice of cheese pizza. They do that real good.
Just remember, not a food blog.
Yep, not a food blog.
We have not spent the last minute and a half, 2 minutes talking about food in any way. But for real, root beer is amazing. What we have here, sarsaparilla, is too strong. What they have over there, root beer, is smoother. Oh man, so good.
Yeah, soft drinks I've found hit and miss. Coke Zero you can't really fuck up, but like their normal Coke, I had a bottle of that at one point and it just made me feel sick.
High fructose too much, corn syrup is nuts. Ugh. We have a lot of sugar, like actual sugar here, but the corn syrup, man, it's insane.
Yeah, I also drank beer, but like American beer, so it was mostly water.
How was that?
Drinkable. I mean, because it was so watered down, I could drink it. Normally, it's like the beer taste turns me off. Unfortunately, because it's mostly water, I went out for drinks one night and then had to catch the last train home to my friend Jess's place where I was staying. Thank you, Jess. And because it was last train, I had 15 minutes to wait and I needed to pee so badly and there were no bathrooms and it took 40 minutes to get back to her house and I had to hold it the entire time.
Now, from what I've learned from TVs and movies, you can, like, there are toilets everywhere in America.
Oh, no.
You just piss on anything or in any train at all. And you're good.
I was standing in that train station and I said to the transit security man, where is the nearest toilet within sprinting distance? And he told me that when he has to go to the toilet, he has to go to a different station. So I had to wait. And that is why several days ago in a car park on Mercer Island, Seattle, realized it was another 15 minutes to walk to the house. And I couldn't hold that. And it was after midnight and I didn't care anymore. That's the Australian way.
You should have just pissed on the train. Just pretend you're homeless, piss on the train.
Oh, buddy, it got close. anyway, not a urine blog either. So, really? Yeah, I know. I thought we were branching out, but we are not, in fact, doing that. We are here to talk about video games and television and movies. So let's talk about those. I'm assuming while I've been off and you haven't had me to talk to, you've been very sad and playing a lot of video games. Cliff, what have you been playing?
Not very sad at all. Didn't even miss you. Didn't even realize you were gone. Watched a lot
that
of cricket.
That hurts my heart. Continue.
Watched a lot of cricket. I'm okay with it. Watched a ton of cricket. In fact, the reason why we're recording right now and not like 2 hours ago is because the cricket was on. And yeah, nah, we're not recording. To be fair, the English guys got all bowled out today. And now Australia have the Ashes back. If you don't know what that means, I'm not going to explain it. You don't matter to me anymore. If you do know what that means, excellent. You're happy like me.
I am indifferent.
We won. We're better than the English.
Yay. Exactly. Okay, but other than watching cricket, what have you been up to?
I've played some games.
What?
I've played some games. I've played one game in particular that no one would ever realize I'd played, probably because I don't realize that the game even exists in the first place.
I have a feeling I know which one you mean, and oh, if no, so, you don't.
You
I
don't.
Also...
I guarantee you don't.
Okay, well, continue.
I'll bet you $1,000 that you don't know what game I'm going to say.
I agree to your bet of $1,000.
Dollars. Wait, R's. Pirate dollars.
I don't have that. I just got back from overseas.
Now, part of the reason why I know that you won't guess it is because the game may or may not be 20 years old.
Okay, then it's not the one I'm thinking
right.
of.
So in order to play this game, you can't just play this game in the Windows 10 environment anymore. It's 20 years old. No, you just can't do it. What I had to do in order to play this game, which I remember having, like, owning way back in the day, but over 20 years, you misplace CDs and all sorts of random shit.
Yeah.
So I had to go and find my copy on the internet.
Yep. Good job.
Yeah, play it. But I also had to then go and... I had to find another CD as well. I had to go find one of my old Windows 98 CDs. So I had to install VMware and Windows 98 and VM just to play this game.
I'm really hoping this is a good title after all this work.
Have you ever heard of the game called Gazillionaire?
Yes.
You have?
I have.
Have you ever
played
Gazillionaire?
I don't think I've ever played it. No, I know of it.
It is a trading game. Set in space, where you fly from planet to planet, you buy low, sell high, that kind of stuff. You got to pay your taxes, your crew, to do your certain things. You got to upgrade your ships and stuff to get more capacity, all that sort of shit. It's one of those type of games. We've all played those games. Boy, yeah. I have fond memories of this game. It's one of my favorite games. And I decided, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get this game and play it because I loved it. And the sound effects in it were amazing. And by amazing, I mean super cheesy and nasty. Even for 1997. So I got that game, I played it, I loved it. I'm going to play it a bunch more. I have got the save state from VMware, so I can basically just one click and it'll be straight back up again and playing it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a super, super fun game. And the best thing about it is you can play multiplayer as well. So while you're playing multiplayer, it's not online multi, it's on the same PC, so you basically just take turns playing it.
Yeah.
We can play it via email, so I'm going to try and convince one of my mates who we joke... still has DOS installed on one of his computers somewhere. I want to try and get him to play it with me via email. I think that'd be quite fun.
Yeah.
None of my other friends would stand for that shit. So,
now, were you in the mood for this kind of game after talking up Endless Space 2 during the Game of the Year stuff?
No, actually. Well, I mean, I've been wanting to play this game for the last couple of years, but I've never really looked into playing it.
Yeah.
But I finally got the bug to play it and went from there. It's not like Endless Space 2 in any way. It's there's no actual like turn-based stuff as such.
Yeah.
Your turns are flying to the next planet and doing stuff, but it's not. You don't manage your like armadas or anything like that. You just buy low, sell high, and yeah, it's great fun. Mm. I love it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go see Gazillionaire. You're gonna see some artwork, and you're gonna look at it and go, "What the fuck is this?" In fact, you should do it right now. Let's see what your reaction is when you see some of the artwork.
I am looking at it. Yeah, that's some shit.
Yeah, you can actually. It's super weird, right? Like, it's super just obscure, weird, cartoony art. Looks like it's drawn by a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Yeah, what's weirder is that in between, Google has decided to mix in photos of, like, a beefy Santa. Which is definitely not from the same game.
No, not at all. No. So yeah, you can actually go and play this game online now if you want, via a subscription model.
Hmm.
Why would you want to play this game via subscription? Charge me $5 for it and I'll pay for it. But if you want to, if I have to subscribe to play this game, why would anyone do this?
That's true.
I don't know. I have no idea why. But apparently that's what the people at, let me quickly look at the company that makes it. Lavamind, LLC, all rights reserved, 1995 to 2015, wants you to do. Don't know why.
Good on them for trying.
Probably the wrong title to choose to do this with. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think if you're a person who's going to pay for Gazillionaire, you're definitely going to be there for a while. So you might not get a huge customer base, but you'll get a dedicated one.
Well, the cool thing about it is
trickle money.
To win the game, you have to make your company worth $1 million.
Yeah.
Once you get to $1 million, you win the game. It's all good. You can play on, and the cap just increases to $2 million. So you basically there's no real end. You can just keep going and competing. So if it was close the first time around, you can keep going to see if you can win again and again. So that's kind of cool.
Well, I've not been playing Gazillionaire.
What is wrong with you?
I know, right? I've actually been playing a decent amount of stuff, despite being overseas for most of the past little while. So while I was on go, I was playing Xenoblade 2 again. Still not enjoying it. Sorry. I'm trying to power through a little bit to see if I enjoy it, but I've also seen that in the news in the last couple of days, they also announced that they've got a big patch coming out that's going to resolve a bunch of issues, especially around the mapping and the upgrade system for one of the characters, which is basically an arcade game you have to play that is very difficult and very punishing, so why would you bother? I also checked out Skyrim on Switch. That is a weird title to play on a handheld. It feels so bizarre, but I built myself an orc to play as. His name is Kevin. So Kevin and I are going to explore Skyrim again, because I feel like I've gone long enough that I've forgotten most of the stuff.
I feel like you'll play it for a few hours, and you'll get into it, and then you'll stop, and you won't ever touch it again.
That is also a distinct possibility. Mainly because I can't do mods and make it funny.
Yeah, and you've already played it a bunch of times over, so.
I've only played like 300 hours. In between, well, actually, since getting back, I've played a couple of other games. Firstly, A Hat in Time, which is a game I kickstarted a few years ago, kind of a Banjo-Kazooie era platformer collectathon type thing.
Is it anything like Pac-In Time, the Pac-Man game for Game Boy?
It is not. There is time manipulation, but yeah. Yeah, unlike Ukulele, this is actually enjoyable, so that's nice. I haven't gotten very far, but, you know, it's platforming, it's collecting stuff, it's goofy little stories, but the humor doesn't seem quite as flat on delivery as Ukulele did, so I like that. It's very bright. The controls are decent. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. And the other game I've been playing, which I finished while you were watching the cricket.
But before you go into that, for real, if you haven't played Pack in Time and you want to play it, you should totally do it.
I've not played it.
Do you even know what the game is?
It's a Pac-Man game?
Before I start this, Super Mario Brothers was Mario, but Mario came from Donkey Kong first, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I've just looked up screenshots. This is like the platformer one.
Yeah, so you know how like Mario went from Donkey Kong, not really a character, to like his own game doing stuff. Yep. Well, Pac in Time is like Pac-Man is a guy, and then you play as Pac running around through time, doing stuff as an actual platformer puzzle solving. It's very good.
Yeah. It definitely looks very of its era, I think is the way I'll put it.
If you can't handle playing old school games, then don't bother. But if you love that shit and you haven't played it, definitely play it.
I might check it out. It's
my game of the year in like 91.
So Hat in Time, pretty decent. Originally I backed it for PC, but switched to PS4, which I'm glad because it's definitely very controller friendly. And I also got a code for it on PC as well anyway. I already redeemed it. But I haven't played very much.
I was going to say, what even is this game?
So you're this little girl who wears a hat girl, mm-hmm. And your spaceship, which is powered by magical hourglasses, gets attacked. And all your hourglasses spill out, so you've got to go collect them. And it's all these different...
Story's time, yep.
Yep. It's all these little worlds, sort of themed worlds with multiple act, like story missions that you complete that are very varied. And then you've got stuff to collect in between and upgrades you can get in the forms of sort of badges you stick on your hat and stuff like that.
Wait, badges or badges?
Badges. Not badgers.
Not honey badges?
Not honey badges.
Like the new Wolverine?
Oh no, you've ruined it. I didn't know what name she'd gotten yet.
Oh really?
No, I have. I'm behind. I haven't read the last 2 weeks of comics. You jerk. Oh man.
I feel super bad now.
Yeah, I was looking forward to finding that out. Dang it! I love.
If you were a true nerd, you would know this already.
Gabby. I am a true nerd. I've literally all the comics are waiting to download onto my iPad to read. Anyway.
I legit feel bad right now.
Well, let me tell you about the ending of Star Wars Episode 8.
Try to be cool and throw a little nerd reference in there that's super current and backfires.
Little too super current.
Fine. Now all my references are going back to Pack in Time.
Yeah, excellent.
Sweet.
A Hat in Time has these same missions. So the first world is Mafia Town, where you have to infiltrate their casino. The second world was a movie studio. So you've got these two competing production companies that have you helping with their movie productions. And for each one you complete, you get a number of points depending on how well you did on that movie set. And it sort of changes the approval rating between the two. One of them, you've got to sneak onto the movie set. And every time you sort of knock down an object or something, you get charged a fee. So there's a bill, an invoice building up in the corner. And you have to try and not get too much of a bill. And then I just got to a ghost world where there's ghosts and stuff. So it's kind of cool. There's a lot of variety in there. There was also a whodunit mystery that I had to solve, a murder on the Owl Express. So that was pretty cool. Definitely a lot more character and flavor to it than Ukulele.
It's almost like you're not a massive fan of it.
I know.
It's weird, right?
Right, but yeah. Lastly, the game I finished earlier this afternoon was one that was kindly sent to us by the developers after quite enjoying it at PAX earlier this year. It was Rumu, produced by Robot House.
I've also played this game.
Yeah. I finished it last night. Oh, tonight, I should say. A really interesting little game.
I like it. I'm only a few days into the game myself. I did find one thing I would be further, but one thing annoyed me, and so I haven't actually gone back yet. So I got mostly through day three, and then something came up and I had to actually stop and go away and do stuff. And, you know, escape, bring up the menu, save and quit. Sweet. It does not save the progress into the day you're on. It reset me back to the start of day three, and I was mostly through. And that, I loaded up.
That's upsetting.
I thought, you can't be fucking serious. It was, and I went, quit.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, when I stopped it, like, first session to second session, I did stop it at the daybreak, so I didn't have that issue.
I'm pretty sure that I was right at the very end of day three, which kind of makes it worse at the same time, but kind of my own fault. But when you have something that says save and quit, you expect it to save your progress where you are.
Exactly. If not to the exact second, then at least to the last objective you ticked off.
At least give me a message saying that if you quit now, it'll revert you back to the start of the day you're on. So I'm warned. I mean, admittedly, it might have said that, and I'm just a dumbass now. I sound like an idiot. But yeah, but it's quite good. It's going in a direction I did not expect from it. I just expected that it would be like, oh, okay, cool. We've got a GLaDOS situation going on here. But it turns out to be legitimately sad.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you haven't even finished it. No. Yeah, so for those who may not have watched the original episode where we talked about this, Rumu is, you're playing as a vacuum cleaner, a smart vacuum cleaner called Rumu.
Basically, you're a Roomba named Rumu.
Yeah, basically. You're a cute little Roomba with eyes. And you're trying to go around cleaning up messes while talking to Sabrina, the house AI, who definitely doesn't have anything suspicious to say.
Not at all.
No. And it's all these kind of isometric, top-down little rooms that you work your way through, and you can interact with other appliances and sort of like phones and tablets and stuff that you find around the place to sort of get a little bit of backstory. And you do have branching dialogue choices, which is weird for a vacuum cleaner. But
most of the time it's, I love this or I love that.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of fun to check which one you want to love. I choose not to love Sabrina. I love everything that's not Sabrina. Who's the AI if you're playing at home?
Yeah, I quite enjoy the little choices. Like, I don't know that they affect that much. I definitely feel like there was
the dialogue you get, the story cues you get.
There's a couple of little branches where you can affect things. Mm-hmm. I haven't had time to go back and do a second playthrough to see how big of an effect they have. Sabrina talks to you and you can respond by saying you love this or you love that because Rumu loves everything. Or does he? And yeah, it's just got a really nice kind of stark, like neon colored aesthetic.
It's super kind of minimalist white with like neon colors.
Yeah.
Is the best way to describe it, I think. Yeah.
Definitely. As you make your way through, there's areas where it gets a lot more like cyberpunk looking, I'd say. Just like lots of purples and blues. Like, I really love that kind of aesthetic. So that's pretty cool.
It's very 80s.
Yeah.
Kind of. This is what with the future we thought the future was like in the 80s.
That's a fair assumption, yeah.
It's like Thor Ragnarok. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah. It's not a long game, given that it is a little indie title. I'm just having a look to see how long I played for. Looks like I played it for 2, maybe 3 hours total. So I'd say, yeah, it's worth checking out. Like, it's a fun little game with great voice acting by Allegra Clark, who also worked on Dragon Age. So she brings a lot of emotion to Sabrina, which is really enjoyable.
It's a great little like kind of new game on the scene, just like Netscape Navigator was back in 1994, the same year as Pac-In Time came out.
Good job.
And quickly became the market leader. Yeah. I have a list of things from Netscape. 94 because I check when Pac-In Time came out as well. I'm not making that badger mistake again.
So Rumu, check it out.
It is good. The Sabrina, the voice of Sabrina House Delivered reminds me of, you know, the in Better Off Ted, which is a great TV show that was cancelled way before the end of its time.
But not in 1994.
No, not in 1994. No, not at all. But it reminds me of the Viridian Dynamics ads through that show. The voice has that kind of voice, yep. Yeah, like it has that kind of like, I know you're evil, but I can't tell if you're intentionally evil or just coincidentally evil.
Yeah. So
yeah.
If you want to find out for sure, go play Rumu. It's on Steam. It's super really good. Adorable.
Yeah.
I can definitely see it coming to like tablets and stuff eventually.
How did you find the control scheme? Did you play with a controller or mouse and keyboard?
I played with mouse and keyboard. Yeah. I was using WASD to begin with. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the game, I started using point and click, though, because you can just sort of click and hold on a point and Rumi navigates to it. Which
that's how I was doing it, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, he kind of turns on a dime, which makes sense because he's a little two-wheel vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
But does take some getting used to because you can't adjust the turn speed or anything. So having that sort of mouse stuff.
Yeah, I played with the controller at the start because I feel like it's kind of a game where you don't really need super precision controls. So it's like, cool, I'll sit back in my chair, I'll use the controller, it'll be fine. I wasn't really impressed with the control scheme on a controller, my Xbox One controller.
I didn't try
PC
with a controller, yeah.
So I quickly switched over to the PC. But what I do find is that I won't click, because when you click, it has the little line that tells you where your room is, and it follows the, or tries to go along the line to where you've clicked on. I always find that I don't click far enough away, so he'll just move like a millimeter, but I really want him to move further. So I had that all the time. It takes the controls do take a bit of getting used to. It's not in a bad way as such, but it just takes a bit. It's just different to what you're used to.
Yeah, it's faithful to the design of the character you're playing as is probably the best way to put it. So that's Rumu. It's good. Check it out.
It's actually really... It's just kind of fun because it's different.
But yeah, do you know what I spent most of my time in the last 2 weeks doing? I went to PodCon. It was good. I got to see lots of podcast people that I like.
How many McElroy brothers did you see, Matthew?
I didn't get to meet any of them. They had like signings and meet and greets, but it was like a raffle thing. And I think you had to sign up before the event, which was a bummer. But I did get to see them perform live in My Brother and Me, and the Adventure Zone, and Sawbones, and also... Justin's wife and her sisters in Still Buffering.
Did you see anything... How many people did you see that weren't McElroys or McElroy affiliates? Because it sounds like you saw all McElroys all the time.
I mean, I was definitely going to see all of that no matter what. When else am I going to get the chance? I saw Lauren Shippen from the Bright Sessions, which is another podcast I really like. It is a audio drama about people with supernatural powers in therapy, which is a really interesting framing device. I saw some of the lore guy, who tells stories.
Judge Dredd, he's the lore.
Not that kind of lore. Lore, like urban lore, stories from society.
Mega City Lies, urban.
Yes. And Roman Mars, who I don't know what he's from, but he explains things really well. And Hank and John Green. I saw the tail end of their show at one point, which was pretty cool. Just got to meet some other podcasting people, compliment ones I like on their work, which was pretty cool. Did some dropping of business cards for this podcast, the Endorsement Podcast, and networking, which was nice. So, hey, if you picked up an Endorsement Podcast business card and that's what led you to this episode, thank you, for one. But also get in contact and let us know. At Ponk on Twitter. At PONK. That's me. So tell me if you found a business card and you checked out our podcast. And I can justify going to PodCon again.
Or tweet at Cliff and Monkey there. And then I'll go, I don't have no idea who you are. You mean the other guy.
Yeah, that's another option. Yes. So that was nice. They also had these big boards... like prompts, like what podcast you listen to at the moment. So of course I wrote our podcast. So if that's where you got it from, cool. I also took photos of the entire board because it was like 2 meters tall and 1.5 meters wide. And it was full to the brim with names of podcasts. I have so many new options.
Yeah, it's such a first world problem to have that I've got too much stuff to choose from to listen, watch, play.
It's true.
It's really not a problem in any way, and yet I will sit there for half an hour to an hour trying to pick what to watch on Netflix. And this is Australian Netflix, which is apparently notorious for not having anything on it. There is tons of shit on even Australian Netflix to watch, and I can't pick.
And even that's just with Netflix. Nothing, there's too many somethings.
That's not including Stan, to a lesser extent, Amazon Prime Video, but there's so much shit to watch. And yet I spend a lot of my time procrastinating, trying to figure out what to watch.
Oh my, yes. Mm. Yeah, so that is what I did at PodCon. It was fun, and I look forward to the fact that all of the shows that I didn't get to see personally will be available, because they had an online pass you could get where you'd sort of stream remotely, which is a cool thing for people who aren't crazy like me and fly to another country to see like 4 hours of entertainment. And they said that'll be available to us all to watch on demand later. So I
That's pretty cool.
See all the overlapping stuff.
Also, if you are Justin McElroy and you happen to see that you were listening to Endorsement on the Board and he's decided to listen to it, you're totally my favorite McElroy. Except if the other two are listening, and then in that case, you're my favorite.
Yes.
Star McElroy.
Yes, you, Just Travin, are my favorite McElroy.
Exactly.
That's right. You in particular. I call you Buddy. Buddy McElroy. That's how I call you.
I somehow feel that Justin is the silliest, and that makes me laugh because he's also the oldest and should know better.
And he has a very good laugh.
He does, yeah. His laugh is infectious.
It's true. But moving on, let's talk about some video game news, because that's what we're here for.
We probably should get to that at some point.
Yeah. We've only been recording for 3,000 minutes now. So I think the big thing that happened during the last 2 weeks of news is the Game Awards happened. Another fucking game show. I don't think we even talked about Paris Games Week, so whatever.
What the hell is Paris?
There's some good stuff there. And there was the PlayStation Experience, which I think we talked about.
What the hell is a PlayStation?
I'll calm down. So Game Awards is like any award show. They give out awards, but also they do reveals for new games and stuff. So
let's do some awards first. Just quickly, okay. Like, name the big guns, because there's a bunch of, like, it's not the Oscars, there's a bunch of categories no one cares about. But I'm assuming that it's not exactly a massive surprise who won what, right?
Not really. A lot of the awards that got given out in the end line up with what Survivor voted for, Survivor.com. So should I work my way up to Game of the Year?
Pick like 5 categories and just go nuts.
Okay.
And go Game of the Year last. I mean, we all know what Game of the Year is, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, this one I'm going to pick because it's local pandering. Best Student Game was awarded to Level Squared, which is by a team of students from the Swinburne University of Technology here in Australia. So we won. Good job, us.
Woohoo. What's Level Squared?
I think it's like a arena shooter type game. It was at PAX.
Did we play it? PAX is a long time ago. I can barely remember what we did at PAX the day after PAX, let alone from now.
Yeah. Level Squared. I definitely remember their booth. It had big, colourful squares on it. Yeah,
it's like level with the two, like Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
Right, cool.
So that was a thing that happened. Yep. Good job, students from Swinburne. Let's see.
Okay, before we get to the next game, I've looked up the game. This is a fun game. Very juicy. Very well designed puzzles. I look forward to the full release. Happy face. The very juicy bit made me laugh.
That's a good little review.
Mm.
Okay, so
that was by Bad Bogey.
Good job, Bogey. Mm. Best RPG was won by Persona 5, which I personally find satisfying, because that is not the game that Survivor voted for in the end, so I'm glad it won anyway.
But you were voted for in the Survivor thing?
I did vote for it, yeah.
So suck at the rest of Survivor, you'll suck.
Yeah, there's like 10 of us. It was a very sort of groupthink consensus.
It's a true underdog victory, that one.
Yeah. Okay, best art direction. What do you reckon?
I mean, I've only played a very small percentage of games.
But you know of games, even if you haven't played them.
That's true.
If you had to pick a game that was released this year that had very strong art direction...
Well... There's a bunch of them. Why are you doing that with your body?
I don't know. I'm bored. You're taking too long to decide.
I'm assuming it's a AAA title, yeah?
Yeah. I'd say it was very mainstream.
Well, is it like Zelda?
It's not Zelda.
Is it Super Mario?
It's not Super Mario.
Then I got nothing.
It's Cuphead.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah.
Because of course it's Cuphead. It's up against like Destiny. Who's going to win? It's going to be Cuphead.
It's because it's actually stylized. Destiny's not very stylized, whereas Cuphead is incredibly stylized. And so you can't...
Yeah.
A game will never win that's realistic because it's just not that... Even while it's supposed to be realistic, it's not that realistic. Whereas something that's heavily stylized is far more pleasing to the eye.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Destiny 2
looks beautiful, but Cuphead is in a league of its own for art.
It's not crazy art direction, yeah. No. So Destiny 2 was another contender. Horizon Zero Dawn, which the machine design in that was amazing.
I can see that. But again, it's like a realistic kind of approach. So it's not, well, good. It's not standout, really.
Yeah. Outside of the machine design and the costume design, I will say, it is just kind of a semi-realistic open world.
When I say standout, it doesn't stand out. When you put Destiny and Zero Dawn next to each other, like they don't stand out to each other, whereas Cuphead stands out from both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And alongside those, you had Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which, yeah, it had a good art style, but I wouldn't say it's best.
We've seen that cel-shaded type stuff before, a bunch.
Yeah. And Persona 5, which I think if Cuphead hadn't been released, would have won, because style-wise, that game is just dripping. Just dripping style. Just oozing. Gushing. So much style everywhere.
Squirt all over the place.
Just splashes of style everywhere, making a mess. Moving on, best narrative. I actually think... Well, at first I looked at it and I said, that's a jip, but now I kind of understand it. The winner was What Remains of Edith Finch, which was a sort of narrative game on PS4, where you're wandering around the Finch house, going through the rooms of all these sort of deceased members of your family. And there's all these little vignette stories told separately for each of them. I'm pretty sure we talked about it a bunch,
I remember.
So yeah, it's an understandable winner, especially when I think about the baby's story. Whoa. I was really expecting Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice to win for its dealing with psychosis and mental illness in a very honest and responsible way. But I mean, if you're going to lose something, Edith Finch is pretty good. It was also up against Nier Automata, Horizon Zero Dawn, again, and Wolfenstein 2 The New Colossus, which did have very good narrative, but when it's up against something like that, it's not going to win.
I mean, it's known as the Nazi game, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very good. It's not exactly Academy Award level stuff. It's like, this movie is fucking great, but you're not going to win an Oscar for best writing for it, because it's the Nazi game. It's like Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
Which probably embarrassingly won a bunch of Oscars and now look like a fool.
Yeah. And finally, Game of the Year. Can you guess what won Game of the Year, Clifford?
PUBG. Sweet. Vindication.
I mean, it was in the running.
Was it really?
It was. It was in the top five.
Nice. But I'm assuming it was Breath of the Wild, yeah?
Of course it was Breath of the Wild. Yeah, of course. Speaking of Breath of the Wild, the DLC for that came out while I was away. The final DLC, The Champion's Ballad, where they revealed that alongside the main gist of the storyline being that you get to see more about the four ancient champions of the land, once you complete the game, do you know what you unlock for doing it all?
Fucking motorbike.
Yes! Like, they all get their giant divine beasts, the elephant? The camel, the lizard, and the bird, and you get a horse, which is actually a fucking motorcycle called the Master Cycle Zero, and it's amazing, and I can't wait to unlock it. It can do tricks.
Oh, dear.
It's just like, it's a Sheikah motorcycle. It looks ridiculous, and I love it.
They release a game, the first game in a franchise for 400 years. They make it into a game that has been, a game style that's been out for a decade, and all of a sudden they seem to win all these awards and they give you a motorcycle.
Fucking motorcycle. Of course, I'm not going to get that motorcycle anytime soon because the DLC leading up to it is frustrating as hell.
Get good scrub.
You start off, like, you unlock this thing by going back to the chamber where Link starts at the beginning, and you get this new weapon, the one-hit obliterator, which... does what it says on the tin. It kills anything in one hit.
Does it degrade like all the other weapons?
No.
Ooh, it's a weapon that's useful in the game then.
It one hits enemies. It does it twice before it needs a moment to recharge, but the trade-off is that it is powered by cutting you down to 1/4 heart, which means you can take out any enemy in a single hit, but so can they.
High risk, high reward.
And you have to go and fight these 4 different sort of battlefields worth of enemies to unlock the 4 shrines that trigger the next part of the quest. And A, it's been a while since I've played this game. B, my playstyle was build up my armor and weapon quality so I can just go in guns blazing. And C, it's been a really long time since I played this game. So trying to stealth my way around was difficult. Not to mention, they do shitty things like put beehives in these areas, which if you accidentally knock one, the bees will come and attack you and you can't block that and you die. And then also, once you beat these battlefields with enemies, you have to go play through a shrine, all of which have things in them which can one-shot kill you, because one of them is running through a maze of smasher plates covered in spikes. Oh, wow, it was really frustrating. Now I've moved on to the next bit, which is better, but that was a real, like, frustrating re-entry point. I mean, if it had been released, like, shortly after the game while it was still in its prime... sure, but we're talking about a game that came out in March when the Switch came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we are a full 9 months on at this point. And there's, yeah, I finished that game because I liked it a lot and I haven't been back yet. So, having to relearn the controls while also being massively handicapped, ugh, not my favorite. But I will persevere because I want that fucking motorcycle. Vroom vroom. So yeah, that was one of the things they revealed at the Game Awards, the motorcycle unlock. Amazing. Other stuff that got revealed. One I was surprisingly surprised by. Job Simulator is getting a sequel.
Oh really?
It's called Vacation Simulator.
Interesting.
So you go off and, I don't know, surf and catch crabs in the water and all this kind of stuff. Yes. So that should be fun.
You go on a vacation and catch crabs. What sort of vacation do you do?
It's a real good one, obviously. Nintendo, on top of the motorcycle, revealed, on top of revealing Zelda DLC stuff, they also revealed the fact that they were bringing Bayonetta 1 and 2 to the Switch.
Yeah, which is cool.
I mean, I might finally play it because the games look fun. They're made by the same people who did Devil May Cry, so they've got a lot of mechanic behind it. Just... Bayonetta itself is problematic.
A lot of Japanese RPG wank to them as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then, so Reggie Fils-Aimé, who was presenting this, has always done the one more thing, very kind of Steve Jobsy. So they presented Bayonetta 1 and 2 coming to the Switch, either in a pack or separately, I think. And is like, oh, and one more thing, and plays another trailer, and it's Bayonetta 3. They're just like, oh yeah, we're making another one. It's cool. It's for Switch. So I might finally play Bayonetta. They also did another trailer for Death Stranding, which continues to be a confusing as fuck video game, but does look beautiful.
Well, I mean, Norman Reedus, so...
Yeah. Norman Reedus has a baby in his guts, like down his throat. It gives a thumbs up.
It's like Quado from Total Recall.
I guess. Yeah, it's real confusing.
He's also weirdly buff in that too. After seeing Walking Dead, where he's super skinny, he's like skinny buff in that.
Yeah.
Whereas in that thing, he's just like stupidly buff. Like he's massive. His head looks weird on that body.
Yeah. Prepare for a similarly disconcerting moment in Star Wars, I will say.
With who?
But moving on. I'm not going to say.
I spoiled Honey Badger. Bring it at me.
But see, I care about our listeners.
Well, you can always cut it. You can just ruin it for me and then you just cut it straight at me going like, ah.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll bleep it.
Ah. Why?
Told you.
That spoiler was the worst.
It was. Yeah, so in summary, the porgs are ripped. Moving on.
But how do they taste? Delicious?
I'm sure.
Mm.
Beefy. Another game I was really excited to see revealed is a new title from Campo Santo, who did Firewatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game called In the Valley of the Gods, is about two female archaeologists exploring tombs and curses and Egypt. And it looks amazing because it's in that same sort of kind of cartoony style. It has a lot of personality to it. Also, quite enjoyed, A, it's two female characters, so it looks like it'll be some sort of like AI co-op thing. But also, they're both women of color, which is pretty wicked. So I look forward to finding out who's going to voice them, because they had really good voice acting in Firewatch. I don't think either of them were big name voice actors, but they brought a lot of personality to the characters. So this, with like the Egyptian landscape to work with and the, you know, like bright sun hitting stuff, I can't wait to see what they do.
I feel like at this point you should just say, okay, 0 to 100, world's population, percentage of like various ethnicities, just roll the dice and pick the ethnicity of whatever comes up on the dice.
Yeah.
You literally cannot be criticized for that whatsoever.
This has been a year of much more diverse, like, game casts, especially protagonists, which
except that awkward moment where every single thing rolls up white, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. So we're talking like 1 to 5 out of 100, but we're just rolling 1 to 5s nonstop.
Accidentally bought the white privilege dice. Whoops, they're weighted.
They were white too, damn it. They were white dice with white numbers. Should have seen that as a sign.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all the interesting stuff I caught from the Game Awards. There's probably other stuff. Some guy had a rant about the Academy Awards.
I mean, the Academy Awards are clearly like Hollywood stroking themselves, but...
Yeah. But yeah, he took his moment speechifying to say, fuck the Academy Awards or the Golden Globes or something.
But what a weird platform
to
have a go at the Academy Awards over.
And poor Jeff Keighley couldn't shut him up. So yeah, that's the Game Awards. Hooray! There's not much other news to really throw at you there. Oh, actually, circling back to Star Wars, not about the movie itself, but I went to see it about 6 hours after I got off my international flight. Mm-hmm. And it had the weirdest set of previews.
Seeing this on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah, Star Wars. You know, you think you know what kind of movies would be previewed before this. Like
action-y, all of the Marvel spacey, movies. Just every Marvel movie that's coming out.
No, because what we got in front of our movie, after hearing that other people are getting like Star Wars merchandise ads, we got trailer for Pitch Perfect 3, a trailer for the Pitch Perfect Christmas album, another trailer for Pitch Perfect 3.
Sure.
Call Me By Your Name.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an independent film about a gay, multi-generational romance. And then Avengers.
It sounds incredibly like they've got their niche. They've worked from here and they've narrowed down the niche to like the most specific thing you can get.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's cool. That's a suite of movies I'm interested in. But a weird choice for a Star Wars screening on a Saturday afternoon.
Why didn't all the blockbusters coming out the entirety of next year be in front of that movie?
If not just Star Wars merchandise and Star Wars related products. No, we got Singing Ladies, Singing Ladies, Singing Ladies, Gay Love, Avengers.
How was there not like a Black Panther one in there for a start? I don't know why that wouldn't be a thing.
I mean, it's all Disney.
Why do they not show the Deadpool 2 teaser in front of it? Okay, wait, no, sorry. Star Wars supposed to be family. Okay, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But still, even though... I was thinking about the Deadpool thing. There's a lot of dirty jokes in that Deadpool thing, as great as it is.
Definitely. Weird choice for a Disney-branded movie, but not weird for Disney-branded movies. Disney bought Fox.
I was about to say, we're getting close to our time here, but...
Yeah, let's blast through this.
We can now get Deadpool and everything.
Deadpool and everything. Disney owns Firefly. The Simpsons can appear in Kingdom Hearts.
All right, so Firefly, I feel personally wronged by the fact that show was cancelled, but I don't want it to come back because I don't think it would be anything now. No, it's too far gone.
It's been too long.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Fantastic Four and all of the villains will be able to come to the Marvel movies.
What I want to see, though, is I don't want to see them cross over X-Men and Fantastic Four into the MCU. The MCU is too big already.
Yeah.
Like, it could get bigger, obviously, but like it's too big. Set the Fantastic Four in with the X-Men and have that as their own separate proper universe now. Get Feige on that shit. It'd be amazing.
You know, we don't even need the Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four suck. What we need is the Future Foundation. That would make for interesting movies. When Reed Richards got a bunch of smart people and kids together and they solved science stuff, it was really cool because it's a more interesting cast than the Fantastic Four, who are boring pieces of crap. Yeah, so that's cool. All of the villains come back. We can now have, as our next big bad, instead of Thanos, Galactus. Galactus as a major villain everyone can pile against.
We could see a truly good Doctor Doom.
A proper Doctor Doom.
He can toot at people, finally.
Oh, the tooting. No one can Doom stop Doctor Doom tooting.
Toots as he pleases, damn it.
Sure does. So there's a lot of variety that's now available. Also, they can say the word mutant and drop the trash fire in humans. Because
I still think that they should not do that and keep them separate. Otherwise, you're getting too big in the universe. There's already criticism that MCU is too big.
I'm not saying you have to bring the X-Men in. Just being able to say, oh, that person has superpowers because they're a mutant.
Well, I mean, they can do that, yeah. As long as they don't try and get too big. Because the MCU, for as great as it is massive. And putting the X-Men in there would only make it too big, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, just personally, anything to drop the way they went with Inhumans. Because that's one of the shows I watched on my trip for the flights. I watched like 3 episodes of The Inhumans. It was bad. So bad.
Just keep making Legion.
And Runaways, which is very good.
I've only still watched the first couple episodes of that.
Oh, it's so good. I was worried they'd drag it out forever, revealing all the cool stuff. But no, they just leaned into it hard.
Awesome.
Yeah, so cool. Fox and Disney. Together at last.
Hooray. Except if the American Senate the Democrats in the Senate and the House go at it, because apparently they're not happy with it in some way. Probably because it means that some group in America is going to feel hard done by, probably white people, because they're the ones in power, they have all the power.
Probably.
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah,
Deadpool
so that's cool.
In everything. He's the one character that could cross over, though, because he can legit, like, I've got a teleporter, hit it, and then just pop up and be like, holy shit, you're an Avenger. Hit it and just buzz out of there. It'd be great.
If there's any character that's going to give meta-narrative about the sale, then it's going to be Deadpool.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, suddenly you exist in my universe. Cool.
I mean, don't you want to see Spidey swinging along somewhere and then just have him punched in the face by Deadpool? And then have Deadpool go like, oh, I punched Spider-Man in the face, and then just teleport out?
Pretty sure it's the other way around. Deadpool would try and do the upside down kiss with Spider-Man, and Spider-Man would punch Deadpool in the face.
I mean, can't we have both?
Deadpool loves Spidey so much.
I mean, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Deadpool, it's Spidey loves Deadpool.
I mean, that said, Ryan Reynolds and little Tom, what's his name? Tom?
Tom Holland, yeah.
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
That's maybe a bridge too far.
I feel like Deadpool trying to be a mentor to young Spidey would be an amazing movie to watch, don't you think? Like, Deadpool thinks he's a good guy, like, thinks he can mentor this guy to being another good superhero, and just being Deadpool.
Spider-Man's just like, Deadpool. Deadpool, no. No Deadpool.
Yeah.
And
then Deadpool but we're the same. And then just Spidey, like, giving him, the one closed eye.
Yeah.
Like, looking at it, amazing.
So many opportunities. Yeah. I guess we'll probably have to wait a few years to find how any of them pan out, considering how far ahead they record these things.
Also, Sony still owns Spider-Man, so...
Yeah, that one's still a delicate tightrope or web line to walk.
Oh!
Thematic joke. On that note, I reckon that'll about do us for this week, because otherwise we're going to talk forever. So, thank you, as always, for tuning into The Indoorsman, your weekly podcast guide to the great indoors. We always enjoy it when you tune in, especially if you're a person who tuned in thanks to PodCon. That is very cool, and as I said, I'd very much appreciate you telling us if you came to us that way, because it's nice to know that you're out there and enjoying Australians complaining about video games, because that's pretty much what we're here for.
Well, I mean, one Australian and one good person complaining. Well, one person complaining about video games, one good person, trying to see the light in the world.
I do my best. But Xenoblade Chronicles 2 can eat a bag of dicks.
I don't know anything about the game, but because I'm a pessimistic arsehole, I will agree with you.
Excellent.
Mm. All the dicks.
Just nom.
Massive sack.
Just
filled to the brim.
This is getting weird even for me. Let's move on.
If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Side Chain Compression on Game Boy by Rocky W. To prove, or as if you're needing more proof that it's awesome, I'll read a direct quote from a certain co-host of mine while he was away. Yeah. And it goes like this. Fuck, I love our intro music. I just listened to it in full. At the drop, I automatically expected to hear myself start talking. Ha. So if you need any more praise than that from the man that listens to it every week, there you are.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, it did throw me off for a second listening to the actual thing and not hearing it fade out to my dumb, constantly repeated intro.
Yeah, that made me laugh a lot. If you want to go grab it, you can grab it on Bandcamp or various other places around. Just throw it into Google and you'll find it.
That is correct. You can also find us on the internet at indoorsmanpodcast.com or at indoorsmanpod on either Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can also tweet us at indoorsmanpod if you want to tell us that you found the podcast. Although I don't remember if I'm logged into that account, so do at Ponk instead. And Instagram is where you can check out our weekly cover art, which is always very good, and I like it.
I don't have logins for pretty much any of that, so if you do put on there, awesome. Matt will tell me about it, assuming he's logged in as well.
Probably.
Yeah. If you want to get to us directly, send us a message or what have you, you can get to me at Cliff and Monkey or Matt at Ponk on Twitter. Or if you have any questions or comments or anything like that and you want to send us an email, you can get to us at contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That's correct. We'd also love it if you could subscribe, rate, review, recommend the show on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever other thing you use for podcasts. Because that's good for us.
But for now, this guy here has been the Dirty 30 Birthday Boy, Matt.
That's me. And the other one has been the Sweaty Betty Cricket Boy, Cliff.
I mean, it's warm in Adelaide, right? Jeez. Kind of self-conscious about it. Warm here too,
Jesus.
I've been drinking beers all afternoon after work, watching the cricket, watching the Ashes come back to Australia.
And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying...
Talking about outdoor cricket sports.
No, I don't think we will. I think we'll sign off by saying, I miss Seattle, where it was 6 degrees every day and I could wear 2 coats, instead of here, where it's 33 degrees and I'm wearing 2 coats of sweat.
This time next week, we're going to be one day away from watching the next cricket match.
This time next week, it'll have been a day since I saw the new Doctor Who Christmas special. Yeah.
And only like 2 days away from seeing the new Big Fat Quiz of the Year.
Oh, Big Fat Quiz?
Yeah, I love me some Big Fat Quiz.
Mm. Alright, well that's our episode for this week. Goodbye! We'll probably see you again before the end of the year, let's see.
I won't see any of you people. But you may hear my voice. Depending on how cool you are.
Not sure if that's a recommendation or not, but there you go.
My mum says I'm cool.
She's wrong.
No. Oh.